Hey guys, welcome back to So What Page We On Bae. It's just me. It's not Kiki. It's not Casey. Casey's traveling. Kiki's doing mom things. I have a special guest today. We're going to talk about a new book that he has coming out. And the title of it has the word opus in it. So I had to do my research because I was like, okay, I know what a magnum opus is. It has to do with the brain. Opus itself. Let me look it up. So I was like, let me look it up. So opus is it means work, right? Musical work at that. And I think that's a good title for the book. We're gonna talk more about it with the author, but I know the author from podcasting, and I didn't know that he was working on the book, and he let me know that he's working on the book. So when he was like, you know, would I want to talk about it on the show? I'm just like, I'm good. Like, there's a podcast for that. So one of the podcasts is this one where we focus on books. So What Page We On Bae is three friends, me included. And we just pick a book each season because we just feel like people don't read anymore or people don't make time for reading. So from what I've took a peek into with this story, it's really good. It really grabs you. We're going to talk a little bit about it, a little bit about the characters, but I think it's a really great book that's going to be given to the public because I've been peeking at it a little bit. He let me peek at it a little bit. And so far, I think it's a really great story. It's very relatable and I think it should be shared. So I'm glad he's going to talk about it today. And I think when it comes to love, I think it's different for everybody. But when it comes to a story of talent and love, I think it meshes really well together. And to be someone who's musically inclined, who is in engineering and you're also writing, I was just like, okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the book on the show. So I have a few questions for him. And he goes by Mr. Rent Money, okay? And he teaches musical things with young people. He also is a father, and he's writing. He's an author. So we're going to talk a bit about your book. What's up, Mr. Rent Money?
What's up, what's up, what's up? Shan V. Pod.
How you doing?
I'm so happy to be here. I'm blessed. I was excited to do this interview. Mm-hmm. I was preparing for it. I was bracing myself for whatever questions you may have. I'm ready for whatever questions you got.
Okay. My first question is, so you wrote a book, and from what I've read, it's very good, like I said earlier. And can you tell us what made you write the book in the first place?
Like one day I was just looking through my notes mm-hmm. and my phone, and I don't know about anybody else, but I like to write a bunch of things in my notes that may not make any sense to anyone else, mm-hmm. but to me, when I read it, I understand very well what's going on. Mm-hmm. So you might just see some random stuff, logs through my day, or I may be talking about an event that happened, mm-hmm. just writing it down. Or I might be writing down a joke, or just random things that are important to me. And in addition to everything that I said, mm-hmm. I like to write goals and just ideas. And one day I took all of my notes and real life stories that I had, and I don't know why I did it, but why I thought about it, but I just said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take everything, all the dope ideas that I have, mm-hmm. and I'm going to throw them into ChatGPT. And then when I throw it into ChatGPT, I'm going to ask it to turn it into a chapter, into one chapter. And I didn't like the feel of that chapter, but I thought, like, you know, I might be on to something with this. So I took the parts that I didn't like, and I went on Google and looked up synonyms. Synonyms, anonyms, ChatGPT may have been misdirected with the emotion that I wanted to invoke in that passage. So I looked up an anonym or looked up a synonym, like I said, or changed this adjective, all from Google. I'm just switching it out. It took a little time, but I'm like, yo, the possibilities are endless. I could just do this all day. And I did that chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. And it's in the very fabric of my life. Like, real life is still intertwined. Mm-hmm. In the book, all of my ideas is just like I was able to, I guess, speed up the process with the combination of Google and ChatGPT. But that was the entire process. Those three things: my notes inside of my phone, mm-hmm. ChatGPT, and Google.
Wordplay.
No. 17 chapters with the same process over and over. I've been looking online. There's people who upset about this process. Mm-hmm. Not directly at me, but people who use artificial intelligence to assist them in what they're doing. And I'm like, better cry hard.
I mean, I understand it as a creative, but at the same time, it's just like, there's no respect financially for the old ways of creating. There's no respect time-wise for the old ways of creating, because we live in a now time. We want it now. How fast can we get it? Whoever's the fastest, that's the beast. And, you know, even this morning, I had a package delivered by Amazon at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Right.
UPS not doing that. Postal right. not doing that. FedEx not doing that. You know what I'm saying? So he's beating a lot of people out by a lower price, fast delivery, and you don't got to question it. It's you're buying time. And so, yeah, there's always going to be a lot of people who are mad about how much time they put in to do a book versus how fast you're getting it done because you're using these resources. It's a resource. You know, it's just like at some point, I bet there was somebody mad that you had a dictionary to use to figure out your homework back in the day.
And right.
Figure out the words that they had in their brain only. You know, it's a resource. And now you will be so like, so you don't have a dictionary in your house? No, I have the internet. Because nobody needs a dictionary no more because the internet's faster. I can verbally say to my computer what word I need a definition for it, and it tells me. I can tell my phone and it tells me. I don't need a dictionary. But there is a respect level where, as a mother, I have a dictionary in my house because children need to learn how to use their resources. All right. Not just the internet, not just your phone, not just your iPad, but you need to know how to look in a book and understand the root of a word. And so I respect it all, but at certain levels, like when it comes to podcasting also, I don't want a machine doing my description for my podcast. I don't want a machine taking my voice and making a podcast episode. But when it comes to the top 100 list of podcasters, with that network that they got of an office working to push out their podcast, that's what they're doing. That's why they have the episodes that they have. That's why they sound so smart. They're using their voice on a machine with AI to give these episodes. And so from an indie perspective of a podcaster, it's just like, they are not my competition. I'm not trying to be the number one podcaster, period. I'm trying to stay in my lane of an indie podcaster without using AI and being successful, because I get emails from people all day. What you should do this. You should use this machine. We could do this with your audio. I don't want enhancements on my audio. I want it as raw, as random, and as true coming from me that I can deliver it. But I'm not knocking the next person for how they're creating a story and delivering something creatively. It's kind of like let's say if I use color pencils to do my illustrations and you use paint, I'm gonna be pissed off that you use paint.
Right.
That's your work, you know what I'm saying? And that's how I think people have to look at it. So I think regardless of how you did it, that's how you did it. That's your process. You know what I'm saying? So it just needs to be respected. Eventually people will get over themselves, but you know, the older generation struggles with it.
Yo, but it's crazy because you can't just go on AI and just get my book. Mm-hmm. Like it's definite for sure. When I read, it's not just black and white. I'm just really paraphrasing the process. It wasn't just as simple as I'm making it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a nutshell, like one would like I got an editor, like that takes up that's an addition to it as well. So the authenticity, the life, the human feel is definitely there. When people read AI, is like identifiable, because
mm-hmm.
there's like these there's a certain jargon, even if they're talking proper
it's English. Not words that you would use in a conversation if I met you on the street,
right?
Yeah,
not usual, right? And but then you start to see a redundance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that's not the case, and I'm and contrary to that, I'm so excited for people to hear what it's about, to read it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So when did you start your process, so I can know what's the time frame on this taking you?
The time frame of when it clicked for me to use Google and AI?
No, just like, okay, once you used the tool and you saw how it works and you saw what it was doing for the notes that you already had, when it clicked, oh, okay, I could actually make a book out of this. What was the time frame from the thought of I could actually make a book out of this, you doing it, up until now where you're having it
edited? September.
Of last year?
Yep.
Okay.
September. Yeah, and I had, and the funny thing, I'm just so oblivious of like the how it's really supposed to go. Like when it comes to an author taking years, I had this conversation with somebody, they're like, yo, it's supposed to take years to write a book. You're supposed to be, you know, putting years in. I'm like, I'm not doing this for no years, like writing one book.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting this product out. I'm really literally writing the follow-up right now. I'm not playing. I ain't about to be writing no book for years. Like,
right.
I gotta put this product out. I'm trying to like reap the benefits of it as soon as possible. Like, it's all good for a badge of honor, I guess, to say that you put the time in, but at the end of the day, I guess it's like this. Right now, there's somebody in college using AI, and there's a person who's not using AI, and they're averaging the same grade point average. Like, it's the same exact thing. They're going to get the same degree. Their employer is not going to care about none of that. They have the degree. They made it to the finish line. And that is, like, parallel to what I'm doing with this book. And I hope it could be inspirational. The process that I took to make this book can be inspirational to somebody who feel like, you know, I'm not a writer, because I like writing, but I know next to a writer, mm-hmm. I'm no writer. Mm-hmm. You know, I said that to someone the other day, like, yo, you're a writer, man. I'm like, I'm not a writer. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy writing. I put things together. I have my ideas, that I think about in my imagination, and I put it down in its rawest form, like you said, without caring about if I spelled this word correctly or if I dotted this I across this T. Mm-hmm. I just need the ideas to be out
right. Somehow.
And I use AI and Google to get the gears turning. You know?
It's so crazy that you said that. Most fashion designers don't sew.
No?
It doesn't make them less of a designer. You know?
Right. What
I mean? Me personally, I love designing. I hate sewing. My mom loves it. So a lot of the times in college, I designed it. I knew how I wanted it to be. I knew what to pick out for fashion.
Oh, you did designing in school?
Yes. My mom sewed it. She put it together. Right off the paper. Like, that was her thing. Like, I always tell her, like, my degree is our degree. Because most designers, they have a team that cuts the pattern, go over it, lay it on the mannequin, get the model, make sure that the fitting's right. You're the director of what needs to happen in the process, but you're not the one at the machine every day. You understand and you have the knowledge of quality and fabric and how it's going to lay and how things need to look, but you have a team behind you who's actually doing the things. When they walk across that stage at that runway show, they're the designer. Yeah, they had a team. But they're the designer. Doesn't make them less of a designer, but there's a process in designing. So for me, when I was in college and people would be like, oh, I got a brand. I'm a designer because I can screen print t-shirts. To me, designing clothes lost its oomph for me because of the process. And I'm just like, I wanna create something that deserves more respect. And that's where my love for footwear really got pushed into gear. Like, you can't go in your house tonight, come up with an idea, and come out tomorrow with some shoes. That's a different type of process. That's a different type of respect. So it's definitely a thing where there's steps to a process, and a lot of people don't understand it, like politics. They think a president decides everything. No, he has to have a team behind him that can put things into place for things to happen. And it's just not, it happens, you know, but it's a process that people have to understand and learn how to respect. But yeah. Okay. September is no time. My first book, I want to say it took 3 years for me to get it done. Procrastinating. Yes. Mm-hmm. But AI wasn't a thing when I was doing the book, you know. But I feel like...
Did you have an editing process? Are you including the editing process? Because if I'm including the editing process as well, then it's still pending.
Okay, so 3 years for me to get everything organized chapter-wise, what I wanted to do and write it. The editing process was the shortest process of it. I think the editing was 3 months because I already had it together. I was basically sending the document over to a team and they were going through it and editing it. But what people don't understand is you can have a team edit your stuff one time, and then you can have somebody go back behind them and do another edit. That's more time on your book, but that's more of a thorough look through, because when you're having your book edited, you're paying for that. You're paying for a team to edit this. And there's only so many times that you could go in and check and correct before they're just like, okay, this is finalized. We're done with it. And so a lot of times when you get a book and something is misspelled or this should have been corrected, maybe they were on a time crunch. Maybe they had no more money for editing. You know what I'm saying? That's why a lot of people, when they're doing certain books, they go to certain editors or certain people to publish their book because they have the overhead money to pay for a more thorough edit.
So, that's something to think about.
Yeah. So it's a process. So my second question for you is, talk to me about the title and how long did it take you to come up with a title? Because most people, when they're writing a book, they do the book first, they finalize the title after. Did the title in your mind that you had for the book, did it change? And if it changed, what were the options for the title of the book?
The Opus Love Story.
Okay.
Opus Love. But Opus Love has been the title. It was in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was all lined up. So that part was easy. And when I was speaking to the project manager in charge of the editing, I sent the email to her and I tried to just on the spare just change the name of the book, The Opus Love Story. And she replied, like, she didn't even acknowledge The Opus Love Story. She just addressed it as The Opus Love. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna just keep The Opus Love. But like, she didn't even say anything. She was just talking about like The Opus Love, The Opus Love. Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, so okay, it's The Opus Love, right? Okay. That makes sense.
Okay, that's good that you stuck with the title. I'm trying to think, did I change the title of my book? I had it for so many years that I'm just like, it has to be this because that sums up what it is. But yeah. That's good that you stuck with it. All right. My next thing I wanted to ask, the romantic chemistry mixed with drama of what happened. Why did you want romantic chemistry and drama to be like the subject of the book feel of the book?
Romantic thriller.
It's romantic thriller. Yes. What you said.
Yeah. So
I was just like, to me, it's just more like, if I was watching it, when's the next episode dropping? Because I need to know why, or I need to know what happened. I need more details. That's how I would be visually taking it in as I was reading it.
Right. So, generally speaking, being a guy, I know I'm not checking for romantic type of content or rom-coms, as I've heard. But I'm thinking, I want to speak to women. I want to make something that would speak to women, but I also want to have something that maybe appeal to guys some type of way. So the thriller aspect, I felt like even if a guy may not typically pick up a romance book or novel, he might give it a try just because it has the thriller on there.
Right.
But first I wanted to speak to women. Okay. That was
you just didn't want the men out.
Yeah.
Okay. I could dig that. The characters. Let's talk about these characters. So I learned about Chris and Asia so far. But there's other characters in there. Can you talk to us about why Chris and Asia for the main characters and why those type of personalities for them? And to me, they make the story warm and real for me. And then the other characters are just like people we can put faces to that are in that industry for real, where we know what that personality comes with. But for them, it gave me very much old friends on the stoop vibe, but growing up. Why those characters?
Okay, so like even like the way you address that, I like that the fact that you've only read as much as you mm-hmm. have. So you have pretty much your perception right. of like what you think is going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because right. you can't forget. You could get so wrapped up into the love mm-hmm. and forget about the thriller aspect. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to point that out. But Asia, Chris and Asia, Chris, Asia and Tiny mm-hmm. are the Tiny is a supporting role, but he's very important mm-hmm. at the very same time. Chris, I guess it was subconsciously everybody who I speak about. Tell a book about, they end up saying it's me. So I guess it's Chris is me. Okay. Like, but at the end of the day, I wasn't thinking about me. Mm-hmm. I was trying to create this world where Chris, Asia and Tiny live, and everybody in this world is dark skin, and I wanted to be I wanted to be intentional about being unapologetic about describing the Afrocentric look of each character, and how Chris he's a dark complected 6'3", muscular and long dreadlocks, and he is a well-mannered, shy R&B musician.
Mm-hmm.
But at the very same time, he's confident. He has this way where he is humble. I don't want to say shy. I guess humble. That's really what it is. It's a humble. You know, you may see people who are more on the quiet side. Mm-hmm. They have their way with certain crowds.
Right.
But at the very same time, people don't expect them to be starting trouble. He's a humble guy. He's a successful R&B producer. He has a good background. He's a womanizer as well. Asia, she is five, seven, and she is also dark skinned, and she has dimples in her cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Asia has hazel eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Asia has long curly hair. Asia has a lot of dirt from her past that also haunts her. She deals with a lot of mental illness. She struggles with mental illness
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis, from from her attempt to try to get into to the music industry, and it just took a toll on her mentally.
I just wanted to let you know that I do appreciate you for listening to today's podcast. Indie podcasting isn't easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But if you remain consistent and you know what the purpose of your show is, it can be enjoyable. Trust me. And I may not have a network, but I do have a team. I have a pod fam. And it's just a group of collective podcasters that are in podcasting for different reasons. We all have different podcasts. And we talk. We critique. We give feedback. We support each other. And that's good enough for me. And I support other creators that also podcast, not just me. Hence, Shambi Podden is my name. I support podcasters. On my page, you might find me repost other podcasters because I support people who have created something fresh, something new, a different approach that always doesn't have to be what the masses are doing. And I like to see them grow. And if I find something interesting, I like to clip it and I like to repost it so someone can be like, okay, let me check this out. Well, let me go see what this is about because I want to hear the whole episode. That's how I support. I let people know. I share links. Okay? So listening to today's show should leave you with better thoughts. Whether it was She Gets It Pod, Cozy Womb, Creator, So What Page We On Bid, The Real Relationship Rapport, Wear It Right With Shan, Call Me When You Get Off, which is Gigi's pod, Loud Mouth Stereo, which is discontinued but is still available. If you need more about what I do, try me at shambipodden.com. I appreciate you. On there, you can find books. You can find other things that I'm into, my media kit. You can also find all of the podcasts having their own pages, and Thick Grits and Pods, which is a monthly blog that I put collective thoughts on just to encourage podcasters, keep it fresh, and keep you goal-oriented throughout the seasons. But I appreciate you so much for checking out this podcast. I'm going to get back into it. I apologize for interrupting. All right.
Asia is a determined woman who has a lot of backbone. She also don't take no slack. She ready to give you a reply. You're not gonna push over on Asia. Mm-hmm. Tiny, he's a multi-billionaire music mogul who doesn't take no for an answer. He gets what he wants, even if it means throwing a few million at you, but he's going to get exactly what he wants. Tiny, his background has not been revealed in the book. Mm-hmm. I don't want to really give too much away about his background. But Tiny is from humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. He has a shy disposition where he comes off like he's shy, but he actually could get you off in a second. And he doesn't say much. Mm-hmm. Tiny uses a few words, but with his power and his iron fist, he can make things happen, make you have a real bad day ASAP. In a nutshell, that's the three characters that we highlight in the Opus Love.
But my question for you is, why did you make the characters' way of being so descriptive?
Why did I make them be so... Okay.
Like, why is it so important for the reader to really thoroughly see this person in their mind to really digest what they're going through and what's really happening? Why was that important for you to do?
I feel like it's important because you can't, for me, I like to see things. Mm-hmm. So the best way for me to kind of get people to use their imagination is to give like as much detail as I can, mm-hmm, to keep their attention while they're reading. So this will be a way to force people to think about what Asia looks like, to think about what Tiny looks like, you know, to close their eyes a bit and imagine. Because if I'm vague, I noticed the fact that you noticed that is because I was intentional about that. I noticed when I would give the chapter, a few chapters in the beginning to some people that would say they would need more description. And I immediately thought of my favorite book, The Alchemist, where I could see everything. I could see the entire quest that the boy was going on.
And people.
Yeah, you can see it. The words in the book are so descriptive, and I wanted to mirror that in that way, incorporate the how descriptive they were in that book and in my book.
Yeah. We read The Alchemist, I'm going to say, 2 seasons ago.
Paul Coelho or something like that. Paul Coelho.
Okay. My next question is, what do you want the readers to feel as they read the book? And what do you want them to think about after the book is done?
I want people to feel the kind of the anticipation I hear when people talk about their favorite shows on Stars or Netflix, whether it be Power or I don't really watch TV like that, but when I hear these BMF, when I hear these popular shows and people are like, yo, you know, talking about the next episode and what's going on with the current episode and how it ties into this, and I want people to have to develop like a yearn to pick the book open and pick it up. I just said that twice. Pick up the book and read what's next, because the anticipation or the build up is so intense that, you know, they just can't wait to read it. But by the end of the book, well, before we get to the end of the book, during the book, I want people to feel like they don't know what's going on. I want you to be lost in a good way.
Yeah.
Kind of like the show Lost. I don't know if you're familiar with Lost.
Yeah, it's a couple of episodes, but I haven't finished any.
So if you didn't finish it, that Lost is one of those things, because you're lost, literally, you gave up. But the people who were in the know, that stood the test of time from the beginning to the end, they was like, yo, that show was good. Yeah, so if you read, if you try to pick the book up and go to chapter 11, you're not going to know what's going on. You're going to be lost. I want that.
Okay.
I need you to be able to read from the beginning until the end. And I like that you pointed out the feel of the book. Mm-hmm. You know, like you talk about this love dynamic between Chris and Asia.
That's what you think it is. And then it goes into something else. And you know how you watch something and it's telling you what's going on, so you can figure out why this person feels this way or why they move this way. And then it goes into a moment in a past time As you're watching it, is the epitome of somebody walking in the room and being like, what you watching? I can't talk to you right now. I can't explain this right now. If you haven't seen it from the beginning, you're just not going to get it. That's what it is, because there's times where we're reading as of what's happening now, but then you take us back into what already happened, and then that person has a flashback in that current moment that we came from. And if you don't know that this person is having a moment, you think that's the now. So that's why you can't pick up this book and later in the chapter. Mm-hmm. You have to start at the beginning to know, like, oh, this is a flashback moment. This is not current.
Right.
Yeah. Good job. Good job on that.
Or is it current? That's another thing. Right. Like, that's another, for real, like, by the end of the book, I'm telling you, yeah, it's like one of those things. Is it a dream? Is it? I don't know. Like,
okay.
When you get, by the time you get to the end, I like telling people the end of story. I could do that. I could elaborate.
This is the thing that I do when I get books. I read the title, I read the back, and I read the last sentence of the last chapter.
What word?
And that's my deciding factor on if I'm getting the book or not.
Okay.
That's just like, did it hit me enough? Is it making me more curious? Is it going to keep my attention? Those are the things that I look for.
So wait. What did you say? Say that again.
I read the title. I look at the title. I read the back of the book, and I read the last sentence of the last chapter of the book.
Okay.
And then I decide, do I want to read this? Do I want to figure out what happened?
Okay.
So, and I'm a book lover too. Like, there's books all over my house. Every room in my house has books. Always have had books. Friends come over and be like, can I read this book? And I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I get it back. Sometimes I don't. It's just like, I have to tell myself, Chantal, you don't need another book. You have new books in the house that you have not read. So books is just something I keep to keep my mind fresh, so I'm not recycling old thoughts or old ideas. So this one definitely catches you with descriptions and things that are happening. My next question for you is, did you make this story around music because of your love of music, or did you make this story around music because it was a way to make the readers think they knew what it's going to be about?
That's a great question. It was just simply authentic. Music is something that I'm talented at, I would say. I have the most experience with music just in general. Music theory. So writing a book that has music in it, no matter what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be music in it in some type of way. Mm-hmm. So that just happened naturally. Chris just ended up in the studio just because, you know, that's how it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be in the studio. Where else will he be? No, it's because it's coming from my mind, you know?
Okay. So that snowballs into my next question. The setting the tone of the book is dealing with music, and it made it feel real to me because I understand what happens in the process of making music and how somebody can be really talented and not want to make music again or take a break from music. And when people take a break from something that they're really talented in or they really love, you know, something dramatic had to happen for them to take that break.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, okay, this makes sense. And a lot of people can relate to this. What happened, right? The issues in the book were common of the industry, and the events made sense. My question is, was it based on real events that you know? Or it was just like, okay, let me create a common situation that people could possibly connect to for them to understand these characters a bit better.
I like that. A lot of versatility in that question. So I basically took real life stuff that I may have seen on social media and commented, and exaggerated and made my own version of it, or real life events, my experience in the music industry, the glimpse of experience that I've had with getting a song on the radio, and I took that event how it. Okay, the story, the origins of the story, kind of the skeleton of the story, is how it, the process was when I got a song on the radio with the artist who I was working with at the time.
Okay.
We got the song on the radio, but I was trying to come, I wrote and produced the song, and I'm thinking, like, dang, I got to get this song on the radio. I know this song is hard. It got to be on the radio. But I know somebody who can sing this song. I can't sing this song. There's only one person who can sing this song. That's literally Chris. You know what I'm saying? But outside of that, and when anytime I say that, it's like, oh, you Chris. It's like, you know, but that's just, that's it. But you know what I mean? That I would say that's like the skeleton of where the, how the book starts out, my real life story.
Okay. Okay, because I was wondering, I'm just like, okay, where are you getting this story from? Because it sounds like I'm watching it. So that's good. That's good. It's going to keep the reader. My next question is, every chapter made me want to know more details, right? How did you do that? How did you know when to stop giving information to keep the reader for the next chapter throughout your process? And was that the goal on how you wanted to lock the reader in as they read?
That's another great question, because honestly, it got to a point like, yo, you give it too much description, bro. I'm telling you, like, the possibilities are endless with when you got Google. I can just look at what I have already and then Google the description of whatever I'm talking about. Like, look for how can I get more words to synonyms to get a better description, or, you know, give me a long list of a long list of words that I could possibly use to describe whatever it is. Oh, here's an example. So, Chris has a watch. He has a designer watch with I forgot how many carat, but there's a bezel with baguette diamonds and a lime green snake skin watch band, and a magnified bubble face watch. You know, I can't just say, here's a designer watch on Chris's wrist. You know, I gotta tell them what the watch is like. But I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know, and I still don't know what is too much and what's not enough. I just said, anytime I talk about something, I need to tell what it looks like. If Chris is looking at something, if Asia is looking at something, or if she just sat down on something, I need people to know that this is a leather plush couch that is the color of a brown cigar. I mean, literally, you know what I'm saying? And its smell, I got to say what it smells like in the room. I got to give as much details, and I'll let the readers decide whether I've given too much details. You know, I definitely don't think it's not enough, but I do think I went on the deep end sometimes and gave a little bit too much details with taking advantage of Google and AI to turn up the description. So
you did a good job with describing it. I was visually seeing things. So my last question for you is, what would you like the readers to get from your story and characters? And does it drive home a purpose towards the end? If it does, don't tell me what it is, but just tell me if there is one, and will there be another book after this?
Okay. I like that question a lot. The three characters, you get to see how no matter if there is someone who is horrible or if somebody's great, if they're a human being, that good person has done something wrong in the eyes of someone.
Right.
The bad person looks like an angel to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the readers to get from the characters and in real life that you shouldn't just automatically judge a book by their cover. Because everybody, now I don't care about me included. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And this book gives the readers a glimpse into, well, not a glimpse. You get to blatantly see, the duality, or, you know, two sides of the coins with everybody in the story. Nobody is like the perfect angel. It looks like I said, you know, it appears that way, where, you know, this person is the culprit and this person is, you know, the victim. We got a lot going on, and the only way you'll be able to see that is by reading the book from the beginning to the end. But at the end of the book, there is a message. It goes, I bring it home, you know, with a message, and then, it all comes together. At least that was my intention.
Okay. Will there be another book?
There will be. But you know, I said this before and I'll say it again. It's like watching a Netflix series that's crazy and no one else knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this about the follow-up, that it is it's a prequel.
Okay.
It's a prequel. Mm-hmm. To who I won't say. Okay, I will. It's a prequel. The second one is for Tiny, it goes in.
So we can understand his character.
Yeah, you get to understand his character.
Okay.
You'll get to see, there will be a time for you to empathize with or for Tiny in the origins of his life. And That's neither here nor there. I started it. I don't want to say it's neither here nor there. I got the gears turning, but I'm putting all my energy really into the Opus Love right now. Hopefully I could get some. I want to collaborate, get some writers, with this second book. I want some more people to be in addition to the process that I already have, but. And then again, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I would love to work with some more people, creative minds, with the second one.
Okay, good. I don't think you shared too much. I think you said enough for people to grab it. Do you know the release date yet?
June 6th. For the people who celebrate birthdays, and that's a thing.
Yeah.
That's my birthday. Okay. Anybody who, and I'm only saying this honestly just for promo purposes. I'm not looking for like a happy birthday type of thing. You know what I'm saying? But that's the sole reason. For anybody, June 6th is when I was born. So if that's your thing and you happen to know that June 6th is when I was born, that's the day of the book. You don't hear me talking about nothing. Hey, that my B-day was warming up, guys. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. June 6th is the Opus Love. The Opus Love June 6th, The Opus Love.
Okay. And where can people find the book once it's released?
I have yet to put the site together.
Okay.
But on the contrary, I would like it if it can be put into the description. Is it going to be a description where they can put it? It's going to be ready by the time this is posted. I'll say that.
Okay.
By the time this is posted, the website, the official website is going to be up.
Perfect. Where can people find you in the meantime?
You can Google me.
Hmm.
You can Google me. Mr. Dot Rent Money. Mr. Rent Money, however you want to slice it. Mr. Rent Money. I'm going to pop up. I know you don't know who I am, and I don't know who you are. I'm not talking about you, Shane. I'm talking about the people. I know you don't know who I am. I don't know who you are, but if you type my name in right now, I promise you, I don't know how. You type my name in on Google, I'm the only thing that pops up. All my information pops up. My Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, everywhere, Facebook, everything. Mr. Rent Money. My name is Giovanni. Giovanni Randolph.
Thank you.
I thank you. Thank you for your time, Shane. I thank you for the platform.
Always.
I genuinely appreciate it.
You always coming through for me, Gigi. You know, whoever needs your needs musically. So I'm just like, of course I'm going to put you on the show to talk about the book.
No doubt. I really appreciate it. I was excited. Getting out the house, making sure I was thinking about this all day, and we have done it. We've done the interview, and I appreciate your time. Yeah.
You are so welcome. And thank you so much for watching and listening to So What Patreon Be. This will be up and out with links at the bottom. Don't forget to support the podcast and support this book that's coming out on June 6th. Which is my birthday week, and that's Casey's birthday week. So I will be pushing it. It will be marketed on Twitter, on shambipodden.com, and on the IG for So What Patreon Be, because that's just what I do. I appreciate
no doubt.
It.